Good morning. It's time for another conversation. This is High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, here on Talk 960. We're keeping it local with High Desert issues, events, and interesting people. You can hear us Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960 and talk960.com. Let's start talking.
Well, good morning, Roxanne. How are you?
I am good, Regina. We are about to start off a new month.
Can you believe it?
We are so close to summer.
It's my favorite time of year,
though. It is, definitely. So we're looking forward to it.
Well, you know what, Roxanne? I'm always talking about these wonderful people that I've had opportunities to meet and to interact with.
Because you know everybody in the high desert, doesn't she?
But I am really, really excited. I have wanted this extraordinary woman to come on and talk about this work that she's been doing for so many years that has really impacted us in a great way. And I'm just excited to have us have Karen Scott, who is the executive director of the children. No, let's go back because I'm
okay. All right.
We ready?
Yeah. So just start off with saying I'm have a great guest
really
in the studio.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, Roxanne, I'm always very excited when we have guests because most of the time I know them.
You certainly do know everybody in
and,
the high desert.
And this lady I've known for quite some time, and she is extraordinary. She's phenomenal. She's all those things that we call just exceptional individuals and humanitarians, right? And I happen to be able to call her a friend. Her name is Karen Scott. Mm. She is the executive director of First Five San Bernardino County.
And is a great organization.
Oh, my God. Amazing work, right? I'm going to let her tell us all about the organization and what they do. But, you know, the thing that I find extremely unique about Karen is she has served in that capacity for over 17 years as the executive director. I don't know that I've ever seen a more engaged executive director, a more engaged member of the community. She does a wealth of work even outside of that. And, you know, I just really do feel honored to be able to call her friend. Mm-hmm. So welcome, Karen.
Welcome, Karen.
To Conversations with Regina and Roxanne.
Thank you so much. Good morning, Regina. And good morning, Roxanne.
Good morning.
It's really, really nice to be here. Thank you. Thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Well, all of it is true, and you have definitely earned it. So, Karen, let's just jump into it. Can you provide us a little bit of background or history of the First Five in San Bernardino County?
Absolutely. So First Five was created with Proposition 10 by the voters in November of 1998. We are fully funded through tobacco tax. So the only people who are taxed are those who purchase and consume tobacco products. Prop 10 was approved in 1998, imposing a 50 cents per tobacco product tax on those items. And it generates quite a bit of funding. When it first started, we were about $600 million a year statewide in tobacco tax revenue. We continue. We're 26 years now. We celebrated 25 years. We had a celebration for 25 years last year.
Yes.
But the funding comes in through this tobacco tax, and it is collected by our Board of Equalization, I think called CFTA or something now. They take their administrative cost off the top.
Mm-hmm.
Then they distribute the remaining funding to First Five California. First Five California is the State Department under the proposition. And then they retain 20% of total revenue, and the remaining 80% is distributed among the 58 county commissions, such as First Five. First Five is the fifth largest commission in the state, and that is determined by the number of live births that we have in our state in a formula that gives us the fifth largest amount of revenue from, I think we're down to about $250 million a year is generated through tobacco tax.
Wow. So, Karen, let me make sure that I have that right. So approximately $250 million, does that come directly to First Five of San Bernardino County?
No. That goes to, as I stated, 20% of that goes to First Five California. The remaining is distributed amongst the 58 county commissions. So as the fifth largest commission, First Five San Bernardino is looking at about $17 to $18 million a year in revenue.
Wow.
However, we fund more than $25 million a year into services and support for children prenatal through age five and their families and communities.
That's amazing. I want to do a little deeper dive in that, but before we go there, I really want to give you an opportunity to, you know, because amazing things, you've been there 17 years or more, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And then you guys turned 25 years last year, so you're now into your 26th year.
Mm-hmm.
And so under your leadership, Karen, can you share, maybe there's a couple of initiatives or innovative programs or something that you're most proud of the organization achieving?
You know, I would probably say it is included in the Prop 10 mandate that, you know, we are working on ensuring and developing and enhancing a cohesive and complementary system that enables all communities, organizations, and families to all work together to ensure our children have what they need. And that goes beyond just funding, programs, and services.
Okay.
So what has changed, I believe, over this 17 years that I've been here, is that we have really concentrated on our role and the possibilities by serving as a systems integration, a systems leader through collaborating, through connecting, through convening, through
mm-hmm.
advocating, through, you know, otherwise leading. I think we accomplish a lot more connecting people and getting us out of our silos to understand the needs of children prenatal through age five and, you know, where those gaps are and how we can educate families and consumers and communities, and then supporting the providers as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just about, you know, funding services per se. We get much greater impact, I believe, through our systems integration and support role.
Yes, because it definitely sounds like to me that it widens
mm-hmm.
Broadens and expands that circle,
mm-hmm.
and then it affords all of that opportunity for those who are aligned with your mission and purpose
mm-hmm.
to
mm-hmm.
come in, and that strengthens what's being offered to community, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, there's never going to be enough money to take care of everything, but, you know, if we can all link together and leverage our funding, you know, towards a common cause, I believe that makes us much more powerful and much more successful for outcomes.
Absolutely. Now, Karen, I'm going to ask you, and we're going to do a little deeper dive specific to the High Desert,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
who benefits from First Five? And not only that, who benefits from it, but why that's important, and especially why that's important to us here in the High Desert?
Well, funny you should ask. The greater percentage of our children ages prenatal through five actually reside in the High Desert.
Why?
I had made that realization. You know, we publish many reports and we're always evaluating our outcomes and, you know, as we develop our strategies. And when I realized that the largest percentage of our children are in the High Desert, you know, made us really want to focus on how we can best serve children in that region. So going to more of a place-based approach to help meet the needs of those children in your area.
And so can you give us, because, you know, we may have some listeners that are familiar with the name, but they're not familiar with the mission or purpose or scope
mm-hmm.
of what First Five does. Can you kind of give us an overview?
Like your services, maybe?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
resources,
what the program does.
How that works.
Well, another very interesting thing about First Five, and as I stated, there are 58 first five county commissions is that we do have local autonomy. So we can develop our programs based on the needs assessments and based on needs of our local community. So there's no mandate that you have to do this or you have to do that with the funding. We are just serving, improving outcomes, supporting early childhood development for children prenatal through age five. So that means moms prenatal, right, and dads. And then the children are, we develop a strategic plan. It's usually for it's usually a five-year plan.
Mm-hmm.
We have specific goals and objectives. We have three main strategic priority areas, and those have pretty much remained the same, consistent over the years that I've been with First Five, but they are child health, early childhood learning, and family support. So our funding initiatives all fall within those strategic priority areas. And then we have, you know, specific goals, like that we want to access and make sure that families can access and utilize a full spectrum of health services to enhance their children's well-being.
Mm-hmm.
For early education, we want to promote a system of quality early learning. We want to change that narrative that early education for children is not babysitting. It's not just child care,
mm-hmm.
but that 90% of a child's brain is growing during that time. And, you know, for us to be able to ensure that that child is being exposed to and receiving quality early learning, and that the providers are receiving training so that they can provide this quality early learning, and that increasing early learning, really, one of the best ways we can do that is through early literacy programs and support.
And I was going to ask you about that, because I know that there's been some great commercials and advertisement done around that literacy piece.
Yes.
I know that that's a major initiative for you guys. Can you talk just a little bit more about what that looks like?
I think you're talking about Talk, Read, Sing. And, yes, that is a product, a partnership, or an idea led by First Five California, and many of us commissions have cleaved to that. Talk, read, sing to your child is so important.
Yes.
That 90% of a child's brain growing in these years, it is important. That is how they learn. They're like little computers, right? Input all day long. They are totally learning. And the best way for First Five to support that is to educate parents and community about how important. What we're talking about is brain science. So we really do try to elevate the brain science in order to improve outcomes for children.
And Karen, if individuals or families or our listeners want to learn more about First Five and how to either connect or, you know, find resources or that, is there a way that they can do that?
Absolutely. They can either call our office and we can direct them. And our office number is, I don't think I have that number, 7837. I don't have that number, but I can give you our website.
Okay.
You can go to our website and find a vast array of information there. That is www.first5sanbernardino.org.
Okay. And say that one more time for me, Karen.
Yes. www.first5sanbernardino.org.
Great. Now, I want to ask you before, I know you've got to go, but before you go, I want to ask you, you know, to some extent there's concern about funding, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just no matter where you look, just, you know, from an individual perspective to organizations, to nonprofits, for-profits. I mean, we're all having those conversations, I believe.
Yes.
But what's the climate now, and is there any direct impact or concern to your funding stream? Because, of course, you explained that it's tied to the tobacco tax,
mm-hmm.
right? And
correct.
So I don't know if people are smoking more.
or smoking less.
Right.
But is there any concern or anticipated impact to your funding stream at this point?
Regina, that's a very good question. And it's funny you should mention this, because we have a collaborative here today. All of our Family Support Initiative providers are here today in our office convening and learning more about the work that they do as a network.
Mm-hmm.
As I stated, we are our funding comes from the state. So one of the things that I was able to calm the fears for our providers are funded by First Five is that we are not affected at all by any type of federal cuts.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking good. When the initiative was set up, the whole idea was that one day we'd be out of business, right? That there would be no more smokers.
Right.
Of course, that has not happened. And from the very beginning, we planned on a decline in revenue because of less smoking,
okay.
because of the imposition of this tax. So we planned that at about 2-3% per year decline in revenue. So we've always budgeted that way. We've always planned our initiatives, keeping that in mind. However, in 2019, and also for a very good reason, flavor ban was imposed
mm-hmm.
for flavored tobaccos. We kids were vaping at an incredible rate. You got bubble gum, strawberry, raspberry, fruit punch flavored, whatever.
Right.
That
mm-hmm.
was leading to a higher consumption of these products by our children. And we certainly didn't want that. So voters approved this approved this ban on flavored products, also including menthol cigarettes and other things. That, unfortunately, reduced our revenue again by about, now we're down about 17%.
Mm.
Again, I feel very strong that I have a very conservative commission. We have budgeted very conservatively
mm-hmm.
and looked forward and understood the impacts of this declining revenue. So we're still in very good shape. We still, again, utilizing that systems approach, working together as a systems collaborator and connecting all of the assets that we have within our region, we're still able, I think, to do more with less.
Yeah.
And I think our local outcomes reports speak to that.
Well, you know what? We want to say thank you. This has been most informative. You have an open invitation to come back and visit with us at any time to share information, any time that you want to get it out. Make sure that especially our High Desert community is aware. Please don't hesitate to reach out and make sure that we're getting that level of information. And we want to just thank you for the 17 years plus that you have done with First Five, the tremendous job you and your team have done in serving our families, and especially, our most cherished little ones from 0 to 5.
Yeah.
We want to thank you for that. And I want to personally just thank you for being who you are.
Oh, thank you so much, Regina. That is wonderful. Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
All right. Well, I know you got to go. You got a room full of people waiting for you. But thank you for making time to share with us this morning.
Thank you.
The weekend is the best.
Yes, we love the weekend because it's time for another great conversation with
Regina and Roxanne, that's right. And it's we're embarking on summer, my favorite time of year.
We've got a couple more weeks of school, so congratulations, seniors. Keep it up, everybody.
Yes,
so.
Congratulations and kudos to all of those seniors out there
mm-hmm.
And those who are especially college-bound and receiving scholarships and all that good stuff.
Yes.
We are celebrating
and
you.
And a former alumni of a great school right here in the High Desert, Victor Valley College. It just coincides with another guest that we have from Victor
That's
Valley
right.
College. See how that turned out?
We have made a new friend. I'm excited to have this gentleman join us today. Dr. Griffin, Chappelle Griffin, was elected to Victor Valley College Board of Trustees last November. He is relatively new to the community. I understand that you and your lovely wife and family are relatively new here. And so we want to welcome you to Conversations with Regina and Roxanne. And I'm going to ask you to just jump in by starting to tell us just a little bit about your background and what brought you here to the high desert.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. And thank you for pronouncing my name correctly. Yes, Dr. Chappell Griffin. I am married. I have 4 children. They're all adult children, ages 20 to 30. Married my high school sweetheart.
Nice.
Yeah, and, you know, I've lived throughout the state of California. I moved here in year 2000, and I started my teaching career in Lancaster and ultimately got my doctorate degree and wound up going throughout the state of California, closing achievement gaps in Central California as well as Northern California, and then retired in the year 2020 and moved to beautiful high desert. So that's what brought me back this
way. What did you teach, doctor?
I was an honors English teacher, and I really enjoyed teaching English. You know, when I had to decide what to teach, I knew I didn't want to teach math. And I said, well, what is it that I could teach?
I've always enjoyed English.
Yeah, if you've been living in this country as long as I have, if you don't know how to speak and teach English, then I don't know, you have to go back to the drawing board. So I figured that's where I'd land. But it worked out well. I want to make sure that everybody is achieving. Everybody has, you know, the same level playing field.
Level playing field. And so that's a good way for us to segue into this question, because I want to know, what do you hope to accomplish as a member of the VVC board?
As a member of the VVC board, you know, I find that my core values are actually in alignment with those of the board, the existing board. So we want to make sure that we're supporting ASB. We want to make sure that we are increasing the student population, which, by the way, we're not having any issues in that area because we're the fastest growing community college, right?
You're just so convenient. Yeah. And then you just, like I said off the air, you're just growing tremendously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, we want to make sure that those students who are vying to go to a 4-year college have no issues making that transition. And, of course, we want to reduce any achievement gaps that might be present. So that's kind of, I mean, those are my core issues, and those happen to be the ones for the college as well. So the synergy is already there.
Wonderful. And I know that before we actually went on here, you and Roxanne were having a little bit of a conversation about the opportunity for students to get bachelor degrees. And I think you spoke a little bit about that. Would you mind just kind of sharing?
Is that something, you know, in the plans or just something that you guys have been thinking about?
Those are some discussions that we're talking about an baccalaureate program. And so we've had some discussions, but nothing's really finalized yet. So the conversations are definitely
being held. Is this on the table, right?
Is that something that the students would be interested in, correct? And nothing's wrong with having an associate degree, and that's a great stepping stone into a 4-year college. But it would be nice to have something, other programs maybe leading to that.
Right.
Okay.
And we're having those discussions right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Doctor, can you share with us a little bit about your philosophy on education, especially at the higher level, at the college level?
Oh, wow. Well, I have a lot of philosophies, but my main one is that all students are deserving of a high-quality education. And so that means if we have students with special needs or students who are in the CTE program, you know, we want to make sure that everybody has access to California's workforce. And whether or not you know it, that's really the main basis, the main reason for having a community college is to improve a state's workforce.
Mm.
And so it's for those reasons that we have all these conversations with local community boards. We want to find out from a futuristic lens what it is that industries are looking for in terms of their new entrants. And so we want to make sure that our graduates are prepared to be very contributing citizens.
Mm. And so, you know, one of the things is I'm not sure that the community is aware. You guys have monthly board meetings.
Absolutely.
And those meetings take place when?
The second Tuesday of every month.
And I think is that time for
6 usually o'clock? It starts at 6 o'clock unless there's a closed session.
Okay.
And the closed session starts at 5.
So the second Tuesday
of every month.
Is
that open to the public?
Absolutely. We encourage the public to come.
And that was my point, Roxanne, is that
unless it's closed,
community can definitely come get involved if there's issues of concern or just to learn more, just to kind
Absolutely.
Of see the direction in which the college is going.
Absolutely.
I think it can be quite informative.
That is true.
And I think that it also allows community to feel that they're engaged and can have a voice.
Absolutely.
Right?
There's a segment of the board that's actually designated for public comment. So if the public has a comment, they may come up to the lectern and fill out a card and at the appropriate time. We'd like to hear what it is that the public has to say.
Great. Now, Doctor, I really appreciate, because I know you've got a busy schedule, so I really appreciate you making time to come in today.
Absolutely.
Share with us, allowing us to introduce you to the community at large. I want to ask you, what or who motivates you to be involved in community? Because, of course, you said that you retired.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a beautiful wife. You've got four kids. You could be traveling the world and doing a whole lot of other things, right?
This
but
is
you
true.
Came here and decided that you wanted to connect and get involved in community. So who or what motivates you to do that?
Great question. Great question. So my life revolves around my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's first and foremost.
Okay.
And when I was a school principal in Northern California, however, there was a pillar of the community who happened to be a member of the fraternity Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated, of which I'm also a part, but I wasn't at that time. But he was such an altruistic member of the community. He was the head of the Department of Housing for that community, and he took an interest in my students. He wanted to help curb the students who were truant, and mm-hmm. he even tied financial incentives to his programs. And so when I told him that I was thinking about retirement, he said to me, you know, if you ever decide that you want to join a great fraternity, you should join my fraternity, Kappa Alpha Psi, because we are very community oriented. And so when I moved a couple of years later and I decided to retire, his words still resonated with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I had a lot to offer the community. I didn't want to just sit and get rusty. And so in addition to playing pickleball, I said, you know, I want to get out. I want to get out and contribute, because I know, you know, and the arts is also another one of my soapbox
wow.
issues. I want to make sure that students have access to the arts. So as much as I can, I infuse the arts into what it is that I do throughout the week.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
So I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
And I really appreciate that. And I appreciate, like I said, you making time to come and talk with us and allowing us to get to know you
a
little bit.
It's a nice introduction, yes.
Yeah, a little bit better. And definitely we want to extend an invitation to you, because we know that Victor Valley College is growing by leaps and bounds. There's always something new and exciting going on. Good things are happening there. As the tagline says, VVC is the place to be, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we just extend an open invitation to have you come back and share.
Sure.
And as things are moving forward, if there's ways that community can become involved, please, please, please use us as a platform to get the word out. But welcome to the High Desert community.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Thanks, ladies, for making...
thank you for getting involved.
Absolutely.
And we look forward to seeing you more often.
Thank you. On behalf of the president of the college and the board, I thank you for making this time available. And thank you for this platform.
Thanks again for being a part of the conversation. Reach out to us and let us know what you want to talk about. Send us an email at RoxanneScafidi@edbroadcasters.com. High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne. We'll talk to you next weekend.